Well, how you doing tonight? I'm great tonight. I want to give you, get right into it here. I want to give you a few, three points of reference tonight in the scripture. I want to speak to you tonight out of John 12, 1 through 7. John 13, 1 through 17, and then Proverbs 18, 16. And I'll start now with John 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance of oil. But one of the disciples, Judas, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money in a box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Would you say amen? I'm going to read out of John 13, 1 through 17. Are you with me? "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his whom were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands." That's something, isn't it? "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and he was going to God, rose up from the supper and laid aside his garments. He rose up from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part of me.' Simon Peter said unto him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head.' And Jesus replied and said, 'He who bathes needs to wash his feet, but he is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you are.' For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' When he washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said unto them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" Man, I love that. "Do you know what I have done unto you? You call me teacher. You call me Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so am I.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, also ought to wash one another's feet." I'm going to read 14 again. "If I then, your Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who has sent. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, my last point of scripture for a couple minutes, and just want to share from my heart tonight with you, is Proverbs 18 and 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. So, Dad just mentioned that I was going to this men's retreat, and I was so honored when the guy called me and the whole thing. And I told Dad I actually felt right up to it in the prior days that I would never go there, and I didn't really know why. I just had felt that way. You ever just feel, you feel like the Lord has something else, and obviously He did. So I prepared these three messages, and one Dad said, "Well, you'll speak on Thursday night." I said, "Well, that's easy. I got three messages. I'll just pick one of the three, and I'll hit it and head out the door. I won't have to spend much time these next few days. It'll be nice and easy for me." But on Tuesday night at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I felt, and I told my wife this, and I never wake up in the morning. I never at 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up in the morning and I felt the Lord totally take me in a different direction. And I said, I actually fought with the Lord. I said, "Lord, how can I do this in the matter of 2 days? I'm not comfortable preparing a message in 2 days to share with the church." And I went back to bed and I laid down and I tossed and turned and tossed and turned, and I couldn't get back to sleep. Felt like the Lord got me back up. And my first point of reference was when Jesus was at the table with his disciples, and I just read the scripture, and he took off his garment and girded himself, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. And I felt the message that the Lord had me to share with you tonight. And I believe with all of my heart that there is a strong prophetic undertone to this message. If you listen to this message tonight and you take it from me, you'll lose the anointing. You'll lose the manifestation that it could have in your life. Don't get distracted tonight by something else. Pay attention to what God's Spirit has for us tonight. The message that I'd like to title it tonight: serving is not for them, it's for you. Serving is not for them, it's for you. Would you bow your heads? God, we just give you this time tonight. Father, I ask you, like I have so many times in the last 3 days, that as I've been obedient to you, God, that you do the rest. I can't make this happen tonight. I can't say the right thing. I'm not studied enough. But Father, I've come with a willing heart to share your word. And I ask tonight that many spirits, many hearts, many minds would be changed by the power of your words, not my words. God, we just ask you tonight that you'd reveal to us your Spirit in this house. Would you say amen? Amen. So in the final moments of Jesus' life, we just read the scripture, and it was incredible to me. I was enlightened by the fact that Jesus do anything he wants, right? Do anything he wants. The scripture said that God had given him power. So what that means to me is at that moment, at that time, at that point, if you believe what God's word says, he controlled what he did from there on out. It was within his power. It was within his hand. And it's interesting to me, he goes and he gets some chow with his people, right? That's what the scripture says. He goes, he sits down, he eats. And he makes a conscious decision. And if you get this tonight, you'll realize the importance of what he did. And listen, I've been in church my whole life, literally my entire life. Since I was an infant, I was brought up in church. Some of you know that. Chuck's shaking his head yes because he was there with me. I've been in church my whole life, but I've never read this, and it never jumped off the pages to me like it had in the last few days. And I pray it does the same to you, because if it does, your life will never be the same. I believe that as a result of the study that I've done in the last 3 days, my spirit, my life will never be the same. And it says in the scripture that he took off his robe, he girded himself, he got down on his knees, and he began to wash the feet of those that he loved and that he spent time with and he thought the world of. In the final moments that Jesus had, he spent them serving people. His own, because of the importance he sees in serving people from then till now, till today. And I want to pose this question to you, and I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm not going to take a long time because I don't even feel like I need to. I even feel even now that the Lord's Spirit is even beginning to work in your heart even now, that I want to pose this question to you. What are you serving? What are you serving? What purpose are you serving? Are you serving you? Being brought up in church my whole life, you see people come and you see people go. And I asked the Lord 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, I asked the Lord, why do people leave the way they leave? I asked the Lord that. You ever just get irritated by something? You just ask the Lord, why? And the Lord gave me this. And he said, because people are serving themselves and they're not serving others. When you serve yourself, when you serve your own purpose, when you serve just who you are, it'll be easy for you to walk in and say, that's what he does wrong. That's what she does wrong. Because you're not Christ-centered, you're you-centered. Are you with me tonight? So as we read this scripture, and listen, I need a point of reference when I'm teaching something. I need a point of reference, so that's why I give you that tonight. This was on Jesus' bucket list. What is on your bucket list? What do you do day in and day out if you knew you were in the final hour? You knew you were in the final days. Jesus knew that he was in the final days of his life. And he chose to serve people, right? What's your bucket list? Would you want to wash feet? Jesus had serving as his priority. What's your priority? Man, that's a good question. And I knew I wouldn't get a rousing, oh gosh, that's such a great sermon. But what are you serving? What is your priority tonight? I want to throw this out there. I just want to put it in the atmosphere. If you're unhappy, if you're just tired of life, if you just go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and you're not happy, you feel an emptiness. You say, Ryan, yeah, that's me. I just feel empty all the time. You ever meet people like that? I know maybe there's just me in here, but you ever just feel empty? It's because you're not serving a greater purpose. Are you with me tonight? Point number one, you can't serve while you're at the table eating. 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 People come week in and week out and all they do is eat. What do you do? What do you eat for? You eat to burn it off. You eat to use it, right? Jesus went to the table. And then he began to serve his people. And in that scripture, if you read it over again, and I'm not versing as great as I'd like to be, but I will be. I promise you that I will be. I'm gonna go, and I'm actually gonna go back to it for just 2 seconds. If you know these things, Blessed are you if you do them. Isn't that just so cut and dry? Don't we make things so difficult? Well, how do I become happy? How do I lose this empty feeling? It says it right here. Friends along the way. Well, I just don't feel it. I'm not getting the attention that I need. Serving's not about attention. I love it when people come and the disciples. I want to make this point. The disciples are at the table, and if you read the scripture, if you take the time to read it, they're discussing who's going to sit at the right hand of Jesus, who's going to sit at the left hand of Jesus. Am I telling it right? They're all discussing. They know that it's Jesus' final hour, and they're divvying up the territory, and they're trying to make plans on who's going to have control. They're trying to make plans on whose territory is who. They're trying to divvy up what, every time a leader, there's a sense that a leader might be removed or a leader might move on. There's always people standing at the sidelines, well, who's the next pastor? Who's the next elder? I know I'm talking to somebody in here because who's going to be the next elder? Who's going to be the next youth pastor? Who's going to be the next worship pastor? Who's going to be the next piano player? And you know what Jesus did? Do you know what he did? He did what my dad does. So funny to me. And I used to get mad at my dad for doing it, and I understand. No, I'm being serious, though. I understand and I realize why now he does what he does. He just ignored it all. Jesus never even gave light to it. It wasn't in the scripture. It never happened. He didn't go, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see how this goes down. When I'm gone, we'll see who takes the position. We'll see who the next worship pastor is. We'll see who the next drummer is. He didn't say anything. What did he do? He took off his, whatever you want to call it, cloak. He took his cloak off. He girded himself. He got up from the table. He stopped eating. He stopped gossiping. He stopped it all. You know how he stopped it all? Got down on his knees. Begin to wash the feet of people. I want to say something to you tonight. The scripture says, doesn't say that he, I said something and you didn't catch it. I said he washed the feet of all the people he was just in love with, and it was a great thing. He knew Judas was in the room, didn't he? He knew it. He knew it. And he washed his feet. There's people in here, you'd be stabbing his feet. You'd be finding a fork and just sticking it in his feet, right? That's how church people are, right? That guy, he said this about me. And trust me, I'm the first guy. I'll tell you a short story. My son went with me. I took a ride. I had an appointment to be at. I got there, and a person literally picked a fight with me over nothing with my son. I'm looking at the guy like, dude, are you kidding me? I got my 7-year-old son with me. Pick the fight with me. And then the Lord gives me this to share about. Right? You could ask Ryan after service. Jesus goes to Judas. He washes his feet. Right? I'm getting away from my notes here. I hate doing that. You can't serve God with your own agenda still on. You have to lay aside your plans. Jesus took off. He took off his cloak. You got to take your cloak off. You got to take your agenda off. You got to take your let everybody see me agenda. When you lay down your I need to be seen, there's some people that only sing if there's a room full of people. They'll only preach when there's a room full of people. Well, how many people are going to be there? Well, who's coming? He'll come if you'll serve. He'll see it. That's why I read that. That's why I read that scripture. Man's gift will make room for him. Last Sunday, My wife texted me after I got done with worship. Didn't we have a great worship last Sunday? Were you here? Didn't we have great worship? Got done, got off the stage. My phone rings. I'm thinking to myself, who's texting me? They know I'm in church. Anybody who knows me knows I'm in church on Sunday morning. Does everybody that knows you know you're in church Sunday morning? Nah, just a footnote. Sam texts me. My wife, Sam, texts me. And she says, can you come upstairs? We could use the help. I go up there. I'm telling you, when I tell you there's babies everywhere, there's like a baby machine up there. There was kids wall to wall up there. And I walked in there. And if you know me, babies are not my element. Okay? I don't know anything about diapers. I don't know anything about feeding them. I just don't know about it. So I get up in there, and for 10 seconds, that's why you have to realize when I'm talking about this, it's not for you. Maybe it is. It's for me. The Lord's working this in my heart, in my spirit. I get up there. I get all done. And I look at this little boy's up there playing. What's his name? His grandma came to get him. Carson. Carson's upstairs, and he's playing. That little boy walks up to me, just smiling ear to ear. He blessed me more. That's why I said that's the title of the message. It'll do more for you than it'll ever do for them. Are you with me tonight, church? I wrote this down. Selfish people don't serve. They don't serve their family. They don't serve their job. They don't serve their spouse. And number one, they don't serve the Lord. That's good. That's good. Selfish people don't serve. They are so self-conscious that they can't be God-conscious. Thank you, Lord. They will tell you how you served wrong. They have high standards based on what it takes to please them. But they never consider that they, being the person, should serve. If Christ, which is the God we serve, thought it was important, shouldn't we? I mean, really, shouldn't we? If it's in the scripture and we celebrate, you know, the church will be packed on Easter and it'll be packed on Christmas. And the scripture depicts how Christ got down on his knees and served his own people. Isn't that what we should strive after? I mean, it's hard to get people to usher. I know I'm going to get down and real right now. It's hard to get people to usher. It's hard to get people to vacuum. It's hard to get people it's hard to get people to show up. It's not because the pastor didn't say the right thing. It's not because the worship leader sang the wrong song and maybe did it too loud. It's not about them. It's not about them. It's about you. Where's your heart at? You ready to grow tonight? Doesn't matter how important you think you are. Jesus, who's more important than Jesus in the scripture? Who? He was sent to the world. God so loved the world that he gave, that he served. He came for you. He came for me. Who's more important on a social status than Jesus at this point? Who? Go ahead, say it. No one. No one. So who walks through them doors? In the back. Who walks through the doors in the back or back through this door and their social status is so high, their level of importance is so high, who they are in their own thought process, they think so much of themselves that they can't serve. Who is it? Who is it? The answer is no one. You're not too good to serve. There's no social status. There's no social status. I'm not pro our president or against our president. You want a president that'll serve the people. Whether Obama does or not, that's your opinion. You're okay with your opinion. But if we had leadership, and I believe we do in this house. I believe we do. I believe we have leadership who serves people. Look around the room. My parents are servants. My mother. My mother's got cancer. She's up here singing. That's serving. Mother's got cancer. Up in the nursery. Are the kids all set? That's serving. Doesn't that just hit home with you? We need leadership that'll serve. Take off the goofy shirt. If my dad didn't yell at me, I would have wore a t-shirt and a pair of shorts up here tonight just to prove a point. You're not too good. I'll move on. Stuff is just stuff. Stuff won't aid you when the rubber meets the road. Stuff won't aid you when you're brokenhearted. Stuff won't serve you when you're down and out. The joy, the peace, the comfort of who God is and what God is. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus, that's good. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is teaching his disciples that serving will fulfill them. Not the people they're serving. It won't fulfill the people. You can't change the people you serve. That's where we get caught up. We get irritated because we're serving the same people. The same people are eating. The same people are taking. The same people are wanting. Aren't I right? That's not what it's about, though. That's me. But nothing. Serve them. Bless them. Love them. Yeah, every week. Uh-huh. That's what it says. Judas, stabbing Jesus in the back over 30 coins. That's the scripture. Read it. You know something that struck me too, and this I wasn't going to say this, but it came to me on the way in here tonight. Do you know that the people who were in charge of crucifying Jesus, they wouldn't even take the 30 coins back from Judas? They even had enough sense about them that they didn't want anything to do with that part of the nonsense. Does that hit home with you? It's our culture. Who's getting what? And what's in it for me? It's a mentality. It's a mentality. It's, you know what? I'm gonna really get home now. I'm gonna really touch here now. For me personally, my father used to drive us crazy with serving. Really, not just in God's house, but at home. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you get this done? Did you get that done? I used to say, slave or son? A slave, son. Slave, son, son, slave. I used to say that to myself. It's funny, ain't it? I used to say that to myself, but it's incredible to me. It's incredible to me that you know why people can't get jobs? I'm really going to grind it now. Because they don't know how to serve. Just be nice, he says. I'm being nice. I'm just giving you scripture. They don't know how to serve. Why can't they keep a job? They don't know how to serve. It might not even be your fault. Might not even be you. It might be how you were brought up. My dad taught us how to serve. And I want to make this real for you. If you learn how to serve, listen to me now. If you learn how to serve, you'll get overpaid to do the job that someone else can do. Because they don't know how to serve. Can I give you my life story? Just 2 seconds of it, without you thinking, oh, he's just cocky. No, I'm appreciative that I was taught how to serve, and I want to give you an example so you maybe you can translate this to your kids. Are you with me? I took a job at a company in Buffalo, and I worked there for a while, and I had made a decision to leave that company. And it's incredible that people, when they find out you know how to serve, they can't let you go. You'll actually break their spirit by leaving them because they know they can't find someone to replace the mentality, the gifting, the anointing that you have. Serving is a gift. Serving is an anointing. There's power in serving. So I said that to say, when you learn how to serve, and how do you learn how to serve? You want to know? Just start doing it. When you practice something, just start doing it. The more you serve, the better you'll get at it. Where can you start? There's a lady with red hair in the back here. See her back there? Just turn around and look at her. Just go up to her after service. What would you say? Yeah, you turned around, yeah. Sitting right in the back there. Go catch her before she leaves. Now, I'm going to challenge you now with this. I'm going to challenge every person in this room with this. This is a challenge for you. It's a challenge for your life. Go grab her after service and ask her, what can I do? Where can I serve? And Dad used to preach all the time, all the time. Find a need and fill it. 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 Man, that is the answer. Find a need and fill it. See her after service if you want to do that. Can I bring this home a little bit? Let me just bring this home a little bit. Everyone wants to be next. Everybody wants to be the next guy. I want to be Pastor Marty. I want to be Pastor Larry. I want to be X guy and X girl to get something, not to give something. When you lose that mentality to get something and you get to the mentality of, I want to be that person so I can serve that person, so I can serve that ministry, so I can serve our pastor. Are you with me tonight? Everybody wants it to get something. They need to be the person to give something. The greatest among you is the servant of all. Amen. I just want to touch on marriages real quick. Marriages are not working in America. Is that, did you not, yeah. They're not working. You know why they're not working? Because people are marrying other people for what they can get from them. What can he do for me? I hear it all the time. Well, how much money does he make? Does he have a good job? Yeah, yeah, shakes like that too, he says. What can I get? How much money does he make? Does he have a nice car? Does he have a house? Does he have a 401k? Does he have? And that's why the marriage won't work. If you go into a marriage thinking, what can I receive from that person? Let me tell you something. You'll be in the pastor's office or you'll be in divorce court. One of the two places. A selfish mom and a selfish dad equals a selfish child. We need to teach our children to serve in our houses and, more importantly, God's houses. Don't tell me about my kids serving wrong when yours aren't serving at all. You know what? I'll just come right out with it. Right out with it. Your kids, they're serving. And somebody starts saying they're doing this wrong. And did you see how they acted the other day? You just come see me and I'll help you with it. I'll help you with that person. Because I'd rather your kids be all wrong in serving. Doing the wrong thing at night in serving. Saying the wrong thing during the day in serving than not serving at all. Don't point the finger at people who serve. Begin to support them. And if your kids aren't here, they're not serving, pray them back. Pray them back. You know how to pray them back? Serve. Get in God's house. Show them from example what they should do. I'm telling you, you can pray kids back. You can pray them back. We're not training people to serve. We're training them to eat. When people are asked to serve, they feel abused and mistreated because they just don't get it. My feelings towards my father for years, I had resentment. I had anger towards him because I didn't feel like I was acknowledged enough. He's not acknowledging me. He did me the greatest favor of my life. I don't need acknowledgement now. Don't even need it. Don't even need a thank you. Don't even need it. Remember he said last week, you're not even really called and anointed until you get sworn at right at the altar. Remember him saying that? Little do you know, 3 weeks before he said that, I got sworn at right in church. A couple of you heard it. Cussed right out in church. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Yeah, I wanted to slap him. Yeah, I did. But if I wasn't serving, if I wasn't doing anything, I'd never hear that, right? My mother taught me a trait that I'll never leave behind. Make people miss you. When you're not in service, when you're not singing, when you're not there to usher, when you're not there for the kids, when you're not playing the drums, when you're not cleaning the parking lot, all the beer bottles all over the place, all over the parking lot, when you're not there, make people miss you. You know when they won't miss you? When you don't do a thing. Well, nobody called me. Well, nobody reached out to me because you don't serve. You don't connect. You'll serve people who hate you. You'll serve people who don't deserve it. Judas did a deal behind Jesus' back, and he washed the feet of the guy who was responsible for the nailing of his feet. I could go another half hour, but I'm going to stop. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Lord, I just ask you tonight that you change a life. I pray for that person who feels empty, feels lost. They call, walk in the door and they say, God, I'm here. I don't understand. I don't understand why I feel empty. I don't understand why I feel lost. I don't understand why I just feel empty. I feel like I don't live for something. I pray for that person tonight. I pray, Lord, that a result of your word, God, and your Holy Spirit that quickened me. God, I ask you that you'd change the course of a life. Father, that you'd even change the course of a ministry. That, Father, because of this tonight, the word that you've given us, God, tonight, that there'd be a multiplication process in this house. God, that we would see the hands of servants working. God, that there'd be so much help that the leaders would even say, I don't know where to put this one. I don't know where to put that one. I don't know where to plug this one in. God, we'll give you the praise for it. We'll give you the attention for it. We call you great tonight. Call you worthy to be praised. I'm going to do something that might be cliche in church, and it might not be the popular thing to do. If you want a spirit of a servant, that when I was speaking this word tonight, it was just grasping your spirit, was grasping your heart. I want you to get up and walk down here. I don't care if one person comes. care less. I want you to get up and come down here. You want the heart of a servant. You want the passion of a servant. If one will come, 20 more will come. God can't make the first step for you. You have to make the first step. God can't make the step for you. God can't get you out of your seat and walk you down here. Can't do it. You have to do it. You have to take the first step. He'll do the rest. He'll plug you in. He'll put you where you need to be. He'll get you involved in the right ministry. He'll put you in contact with the right person. But he can't make you take that first step. I'm going to ask you one more time. You've been disconnected. You haven't been involved. Maybe you have been involved. And you just say, you feel convicted. You feel convicted. I've been involved, but I haven't served the way I should serve. That's the way I feel. I've been involved all my life. And after I got done with this, the Spirit of God said, you haven't done all you could do. Get up out of your seat and come down here. I'm waiting for you. They're coming right now. Several. They're getting up.
Spirit of the living God, may you fall fresh upon our lives. And we don't do it for ourselves, but we do it for you. Go and do likewise. Teach us. Lord, we embrace you. We embrace you, Lord, tonight. All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, God. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. Show us what you would have us to do. Lead us. Lead us, Lord. Take away, God, take the selfish, self-centered spirit out of me. Take it out of me, God. Take the me spirit out of me, I pray, Lord. Take it out of me, God. This should be your prayer if you're up here tonight. Just ask him. Just ask him. Lord, take the me, the selfish. Got to have it my way. It's got to be the way I want it. Help me, God. Bless your people, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for your servant sharing your word tonight. God, may it bring hope and change, not just to us, but to the people you've called us to. And Lord, even as tonight, as we speak of serving, God, the group that is in New York City that is serving, empower them. Bring them back, God, with a word from heaven that will only complement what you have begun here tonight. I thank you. I praise you for it. In the name of Jesus. And everybody, come on, said a big amen. 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 Ryan, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you tonight. Make sure you tell Ryan, go up in the back there. Just walk up there. Hug people on the way up, on the way back. Bless him. I love you. God bless you so much tonight.